For you, and we thank you for this time, Lord. And Father, with the things that we're going to look at tonight, I pray that you would speak to us mightily, Lord. And Father, we just love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time of fellowship that we get with each other on this conference line. I live in different areas around the country, and we can come together in one accord in your spirit and study the word with you, Lord. Teach us those things you want us to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And I've been wanting to do this for a while. I titled the message, The Original Sin and Fall of Mankind. And there's a lot of different teachings going out about the fall and the sin. And so I want to try to be as clear as I can and give you information on what took place here. First of all, in Genesis chapters 1, we see that everything in creation, God said, was very good, except for one thing, Adam being alone. For the first time in the Bible, God says something is not good. So God made the first woman out of the flesh and bone of the first man. And when Adam saw her, it must have blew him away, because her name is woman. I'm sure Adam probably went, whoa, man, you know, just at what God created for him, the perfect 10. But he named her woman, and that means in nature and name, man and woman belonged to each other. Very important, especially with all this transgender, and, you know, am I a male? Am I a female? Am I pan? You know, what am I? It's amazing. I mean, that's all lining up, of course, with Revelation and the harlot system, that false religion that will be around. Because in this relationship with man and woman, think about this. God had in mind the beautiful picture of Christ and the church. Of course, we read about that in Ephesians chapter 5. Here's the problem I see today. Believers' homes are not governed by God's word. That's one of the reasons why the consequences are many times so tragic. Paul the Apostle wrote, God's spirit in his fullness has to be in the home. If the home is to be a place empowered and controlled by his spirit. Most of the marital conflicts I've dealt with through the years as a pastor have come from the failure of the man and or the wife, number one, to submit to Christ, number two, to spend time daily in his word, or number three, to seek to do God's will each day. I mean, this is why Christians need to marry Christians and not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18. But we understand the responsibility falls more on the husband, because God has set for husbands a very high standard. You ready for this? Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. How did Christ demonstrate his love for the church? He literally laid down his life for the church. I mean, it doesn't take a theologian to know the cause of most marital problems is sin. It's sin. And the root of all sin is selfishness. Scripture teaches submission to the Lord and to one another is the only way to overcome selfishness. Because when we submit, the Holy Spirit can fill us and enable us to love one another in a sacrificial, sanctifying, and satisfying way, the way Christ loves the church. Now, with this in mind, I want to look at the original sin that led to the fall of mankind. What I love about this passage It shows us sin can't be blamed on our environment. It shows us sin cannot be handed down from our parents. Because the conditions in the garden, think about it, they were perfect. Perfect. Verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Now, unfortunately, most people don't believe the devil really exists. Or if they believe he exists, they don't take him seriously. Even though we don't know much about when Satan was created, we do know Satan is very real. He's our enemy. He can be extremely dangerous if we're not careful. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 9, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Now, we need to understand something, and this is very important. God is not the author of sin. Neither does God ever tempt people to sin. This is the work of Satan. James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Originally, Satan was a beautiful angel. Job chapter 38, verses 4 to 7 says, and this is God speaking, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Do you know that Satan, according to this here, rejoiced at God's work? But he sinned, and God had to judge him. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 17 tells us he became prideful and sinned. Ezekiel 28, verses 11, 19 tells us he was created, and when he sinned, he was kicked out of heaven. He was created. Now, that's kind of interesting because the Mormons believe that Jesus was created, and that Jesus and Lucifer are blood brothers. And yet Jesus is God. Here in Genesis 3, Satan comes to Eve disguised as a serpent. That's interesting because Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." When you look at the beginning chapters here in the book of beginnings, Genesis, in chapter 3, Satan deceives. In chapter 4, We see Satan as a liar and a murderer. That's when Cain slew Abel. That's why Jesus said of the Jews in John chapter 8, verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." It should be a warning to us. We need to continually be aware of Satan's deceptive ways. We got to know his tactics. And we can't let our guard down. Think about this. Satan aimed at Eve's mind, and he succeeded in deceiving her. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 2 to 4? Of course, he was talking to the believers in the church at Corinth. Listen to what he says. He says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." They'll put up with it because they don't know the word. They don't know the Bible. Paul warned the church in Galatians 1, verses 8 to 9, the church in Galatia. He says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Paul said that twice because two in scripture is confirmation. And if you look that word accursed here in Galatians chapter 1 verses 8 and 9 up from the original Greek text, it means damned to the lowest hell. To the lowest hell. That's why Paul instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verses 12 to 15. And he was speaking of the headship of man. He said, "And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control." Here's the thing. Man's mind is part of his being created in God's image. Think about that. So Satan actually attacks God when Satan attacks our mind. Colossians 3, verses 8 to 10. As long as the mind holds to God's truth, to God's word, Satan cannot win. But once the mind begins to doubt God's word, here it is, man, the devil can then come in and lie to you. Satan questioned God's word in verse 1. He denied God's word in verse 4. And then he substituted his own lies in verse 5. Satan is undermining faith in the goodness of God, and he suggests to Eve that God was holding out on them. How? By keeping them from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, the problem comes when we question God's goodness, when we doubt his love for us. We're playing right into the hands of Satan. First, Satan denied God's word. Then he puts in his own lie, Does that sound familiar? Romans 1, verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the Creator rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. This is something that's been going on for the last 2,000 years of the church age, and we see it especially in our time. In total defiance of God, mankind exchanged God's truth for the lie and followed Satan, who Jesus said is the father of lies. So, what is this lie that has ruled people since the fall of mankind? It's the belief that men and women can be their own God. That they can live for the creation and not the Creator. Hey, do your own thing. Any blessings you're getting? Hey, it's from you. It's from you. It's not from God. Any bad things that happen in your life? Hey, it's from you. It's not from God. Satan tells them that they will not have to pay for any consequences of it. They don't realize Satan is their Lord. And one day they're going to end up with him in the lake of fire for all eternity if they do not repent. Revelation 20, verses 10 to 15. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, he just spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness with no food. He answered Satan's lies with what? God's truth, God's word. See, this is what will happen when you know God's word. Follow me with this. Satan said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Satan said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. He took him up on the pinnacle of the temple. And he told Jesus, just jump off. Just throw yourself down. Commit suicide. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What did Jesus say? Get away from me, punk. No. Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The third time, Satan took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Satan has wanted to be worshipped since the beginning of time. God's going to give him his opportunity those last 3.5 years of that great tribulation just to show Satan that he cannot rule mankind. All he brings is chaos before he is thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. Well, again, Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Satan made the temptation sound really good by making an offer. Eve, you will be like God. You'll be exactly like God. Well, Eve should have never given Satan the time of day. She should have held on to God's word. If she did, she would have resisted the devil. Let me tell you something about Eve. Eve took away from God's word by taking out the word freely in verse 2. She added to God's word by saying, touch it in verse 3. Then she changed God's word. God said, you shall surely die. Eve changed it to, lest you die in verse 3. Again, in verse 6, we have the consequences. The lust of the flesh, good for food. The lust of the eyes, pleasant to the eyes. The pride of life, desirable to make one wise. Does that sound like 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17? Here's the mind blower, and I'll finish with this. Eve was deceived and gave in to the temptation. But Adam? Adam wasn't deceived, as we read there in that Corinthian chapter verse. Adam willfully sinned and threw the world into condemnation and judgment. Many Bible scholars say that when Eve partook of that fruit and she changed, she became a sinner. She looked different. Everything changed. Adam was so in love with his wife, instead of being separated from her, Adam willingly partook of the fruit and sinned so he could be like his wife. That's amazing. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing us to look and study at this part in the scripture where sin entered into the world and sin entered into mankind. We know as we study the book of Revelation that one of these days sin is going to be destroyed. It's going to be gotten rid of. And Lord, we so look forward till that time. Until then, Father, I pray that you would enable us through the power of your Spirit to be able to do the things that are right, to make those choices that are right and according to your word. Father, may we know your word enough, the Bible enough, to be able to say, it is written, and to quote scripture when we get attacked by our common enemy. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.